The Dr. Lodi podcast empowers people to think for themselves and teaches people how to achieve optimal health, free from cancer and all other chronic conditions. As a medical doctor, clinical psychologist, nutritionist, historian, philosopher, and the pioneer of what has now become the definitive route for those unsatisfied with the modern cancer treatment system, Dr. Lodi will deliver information that you've never heard before. Tune in and discover what a true second opinion really means, how to stop making cancer, why there is no such thing as diseases, and what you are truly capable of achieving in your life.
Sawadee Kap, Tukon. I'm glad you're all here. I know it's Easter, but it's more than that. So I want to talk about that for a minute because it's always important to remember our lives in context. Okay, because we kind of get lost. Is that still good? Yeah, we get lost about with our own personal dramas. We get lost about the context of life, And I wanted to just talk about that a bit because. And yeah, I just had only 15 minutes to look at your questions, and there's a lot of really good ones there. So, but let me say the first things I need to say before we can get started, and that is, you know, I'm in the hotel room. There's no air. I can't believe I can't open the windows. It's crazy. As you all know, at Dr. Thomas Lodi, MD, is only if you want to get into Twitter or X. But everything else, like Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, it's at Dr. Thomas Lodi, right? And you can also live stream from my website, drlodi.com. And I was talking to our team this week, and they're setting it up. So we're going to have really three groups. One group will be a general membership. I'm still going to do lives every Sunday. It's the foundation of everything, and it has the best price. I love it. Nothing should cost anything. The only thing it should cost us, you know, the only thing I think we should do, you know, the word earn a living. To earn a living, I mean, just to be, I think if you get up and you see, it's not a good term because you don't earn a living. You were given life. And all you have to do is keep it. Just keep it. And how do you keep it? Well, you got to take care of this thing. And this earth suit, fantastic, incredible earth suit. You know, and what I want to tell you all, and I think this is my main message every time, is to remember something. This body, our earth suit, was made by divine intelligence. And if you look around at nature, you'll see that nature is actually perfect. Every aspect of nature does what it does in order that the entirety of nature continues. In other words, everything that exists is functional, and there's no waste. Everything that exists is functional, including what we would call waste. The waste of one creature is nourishment to another creature. There's no waste. There's no garbage. There's no trash. There's nothing. This is divine intelligence. This is a product of divine intelligence, and our bodies are that. The false religion that came into humanity somewhere, I guess, just after the Dark Ages, the Renaissance, around there, I guess the Renaissance is when it started, is called science. And science is, I don't know, I mean, you know, I had to learn it. I had to learn it because what they call science. There are other sciences. For example, there are the Vedic sciences. There were, you know, mathematics runs through all sciences, but basically science is observation. But the way that the science that we're used to, like when we do double blind placebo controlled studies, that is, first of all, that science was born of its parents are ignorance and atheism. Why do I say that? Because they threw away all the wisdom of the ages and said, let's start over and prove everything. And so, and then the second part of it, second parent, is that there's no intelligence to the universe. Everything is random. I'm serious. That's science, random. So there's no intelligent design. So ignorance and atheism. Ignorance, okay. And then we have science, and the progeny of science is technology. And that's why it became our new religion. And I want you to think about it, no matter how religious you are, whatever religion you have, whether you're Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Hindu, Jain, and there are other very Mormon, whatever it is, you don't go to your priest or rabbi when you're not well, you go to a doctor. And the doctor is a person of science. And you take their words as gospel. And there's the problem. So let me tell you something. Our bodies are perfect. They were designed to heal. They were designed, our birthright is optimal functioning, called health. That's our birthright. Not all of us, about 5% of us are born with truly genetic conditions. But most of us have never seen them because they're institutionalized. They don't get out. We see high functioning Down syndrome, and that's about it. We see some other retardation, but not much. So if you're here and you're sitting here and you made it to school and you made it to 5 years old and you're okay, you got some good genes. And we don't have any genes for any of the degenerative conditions that we call diseases. There's no genes for diseases, which that's an absurdity because there are no diseases. There are no diseases. They're not out there and they're not going to get in us. I promise you. Promise you. Okay, diabetes is not something that lives outside and is going to get into me. And I need a special potion to get rid of it. I just need to make, because what we call diseases is the body adapting to situations where it's not having its needs met and it needs to adapt. You understand? Good. All right, I'm loud and clear. Great. So these are physiological adaptations to situations that are not meeting our psychological, spiritual, or biological needs, right? So I'm eating too much stuff that has glucose, and my body's got the wisdom of God. It was created perfectly. So it can only do what's necessary. It can't do anything else. Water running downhill, and it gets to a rock, it can't make, it's not like it could go left or right. It only goes the way it can go. And that's how nature functions. And that's what our body is doing all the time. What is cirrhosis? I'll explain in a moment. So I want to restore your lost faith. And when I say faith, I mean no. Your lost understanding that this body is only doing what's necessary. And all we need to do is to eliminate that which is in the way of its functioning. And provide it with what it needs. And it will function optimally. I mean, I'm talking in functional terms. Optimal functioning of the organism is the only true definition of health. Okay. Anyway, there are several systems that we refer to in our body. And one of the things that science has done is it's fragmented humans. Like, you know, you go to your general doctor and they send you to the cardiologist, and you go to, and you got this problem with your joint, they send you to the rheumatologist and pulmonologist and nephrologist, and, you know, as if these were independent things. None of them are independent. There's only one system. It's called the body. And in fact, the body mind spirit complex is what exists, because the mind doesn't start someplace and then the body begins. What is the body? Well, if you look at it carefully with a microscope, you find out that it's molecules, and they're made of atoms, and atoms are go down to protons, neutrons, electrons, whatever they are. And if you open up the middle of it, you have incredible energy called Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So matter is energy slowed down. Energy is what? What is energy? Try to define it. It's very difficult. In the end, you come to energy is motion. That's what I came to. And the faster the motion, the higher the energy. Slower the motion, the less the energy. You can tell that with water. If you have water at a very low, slow motion, By the way, what is one of the, what's another way of understanding motion is by temperature. So when something is, so water at a certain slow motion, the temperature is below 0 degrees Celsius or below Fahrenheit, we call ice. It's the motion scene. And then you get that, you can either supercharge that to become plasma. So, and there is no absolute zero. At absolute zero, not centigrade and Fahrenheit, because they're relative zeros. A relative zero is on a scale that has, it's relative, because if you really had zero, you can't have less than nothing, right? So you get minus 2 degrees centigrade means it's called what they call an ordinal scale. It's just ordered. But in science, they came up with what they call the Kelvin scale, which has an absolute zero. I forget what it is. It's like minus 200 and something centigrade. Anyways, where all motion stops, and it can't be achieved. No laboratory has ever been able to do it. There's no place in space. Because at absolute zero, even the electrons wouldn't go around the nucleus. So nothing would exist. So if we had to think of energy as motion, that or that which moves things. All right. So what science and doctors have us believe is that our body is, they've invented something called pathology, which means your body's doing something wrong. The pathological process, the pathology of this disease, this is all made up. Every condition that you would have of ill health exists because the body was not getting what it needed or not getting what it needed, whether it's a deficiency, whether it's too much of something, whatever, it's not getting it. You know, there's no air in these places. Let me turn on the air conditioning. God, excuse me. I'm on the first floor, right? I'm on the first floor. I can see the pool, and they have the window. They have no opening because they're afraid I'm going to jump out and try to land on my head or something and become a quadriplegic. It's for my safety. You know, everything that's what we're doing there. Safety and convenience. The only thing I'm worried about. For your safety, I don't want you to leave your house. For your safety, I want you to put this pencil in your rectum every day. You know, some people would do it. I mean, some people would do it. Why do I say that? Well, because I see some people wearing masks. But you know why they're wearing masks? They're wearing masks because they were told there's something out there. You can't see it. It's invisible, but it's there. Oh, man, I better wear a double mask. And I see them wearing their masks in their car when they're alone, riding a motorcycle. One woman told me that her husband wears a mask when they're having sex. So anyway, that's science. By the way, speaking of science, let's agree with science for a moment. Let's say there are these things called viruses. How big are they? Well, about 50 to 100 nanometers. And how big are the holes in the little mask? Micrometers. Which means about 1,000 viruses could fit through every hole. So now tell me again why you're wearing the mask. You understand that wearing a mask to keep out viruses is like using a, let me change this here, is like using a chain link fence to keep out the mosquitoes. It's madness. So anyway, what I want you to know is that your body will always do. If it's not working, if we're not getting healthy, we need to do is remember, these are the essentials to healing. Eliminate all potential toxicities, starting with the mouth. And then the rest, the mouth goes all the way down to the gut. So the gut, the entire gastrointestinal system begins with the lips, ends with the anus. The teeth, number one, before you do anything else, or while you're doing it, you can begin to cleanse. You need to cleanse, do a juice cleanse, fresh juice, with enough, whatever you need to make it taste delicious. Make it taste delicious. Don't drink it because you have to. Drink it because you love it. And you drink it, and what's going to happen is you're going to clean out your interstitial fluid. You're going to do colonics. You're going to get a lymphatic therapist. You're going to do movement throughout the day, every 90 minutes, every hour, or 90 minutes. You're going to get up and you're going to vigorously move around, whether it's jumping jacks, you know, split it up between jumping jacks, push-ups. Push-ups could be against the wall on a chair. It doesn't matter. Stationary bike, crawling on all fours. Just move. Sleep early. After your cleanse, when you eat, you eat only real food. And what is real food? Earth made it. Remember, nature is perfect. When we get a hold of something, what do we do to it? We make it less than perfect. It's called artificial. What we make is artificial. So the divine intelligence made nature, which is perfect, and there's no trash. Our intelligence makes what? That which is artificial. It's called artifact. Archaeologists are looking for it. So therefore, it is us. We are the artificial intelligence. Now, these things that we've made here that they are calling AI are not AI. They're second. They're like the clone of a clone. But anyway, we can give them all of our, we've given these computers all of the thoughts, research, things we've done. The one thing we can't give them is our humanity. We can't give them our hearts. And these things here, once they take over, well, they already have, are without heart, without compassion. No, you have to understand what we've given, what we've created here, not created, what we've produced. We don't, there's only one creator. I apologize for using that word. I hate when people say, I created a website. You don't create anything. For me, my understanding of creation would be that you take out of nothing, you produce something. And that's only God can do that. So we can rearrange the creation. Yeah, huh? We can't create. We can't. I'm a co-creator. No. There's only one God. And that aspect of you, which you identify, is God. So it's not separate. Anyway, all right. So this is not artificial intelligence. It's actually, we got to come aside. But it's really going to be the end because it's can you imagine? You know, it's think how brutal humanity has been. I mean, go back and look at history or what we know of history. It's war, rape, theft, right? I mean, that's our legacy, but. You know, because in school, they certainly didn't teach me what people were doing how they lived in 1123 in Brussels and how they lived in North America and how, you know, I would have been fantastic. I would have loved that. All I learned was who conquered who and all that. That's what they call history. So anyway, now I wanted to talk about, my daughter went out to get me she saved the day with the microphone. To get, and everything was closed because it's Easter. So a very happy Easter to everybody and happy Passover and happy Ramadan and happy spring. And I just want to tell you that. I want to talk about a couple things right now. You think it's not related to conditions, but it is. Please listen. Okay, this period of time is spring. And think about what spring is, okay? During the winter, everything gets very slowed down. It's cold. Motion stops. And actually, under the ground is something called fecundation. It's hard. It's a hard word and it's a hard concept, but it's things that are they're in a state of preparation, and they're preparing for spring. So spring is the time of renewal and rebirth. And that's what Christians celebrate, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's actually considered the most holy day of the year by Christians because it demonstrates Christ's victory over death. And you know, it's more of a holy day actually than Christmas, the day of birth. Day of birth of Christ. So it's a very special day for Christians. Ramadan began around March 10th, and Ramadan for the Muslims is 1 month of what they call dry fasting, where they don't eat or drink anything during the day, and they can eat a little bit at night. And this comes from the Quran, and it's a time when Muslims really focus on their own spiritual development and giving to share and charity and showing patience and kindness and all the things we think of with Jesus and Easter. And then we have the Jewish celebration of Passover. Now, I'm not sure if you all know the stories, but of the old, with Old Testament or the Pentateuch. But the Jews were, there was a period of time when the Jews were enslaved by Egypt, and there were 10 plagues. And these were 10 plagues that came. One was water turning to blood, frogs, lice, their livestock. They got boils, they hailed. There was a locust, grasshoppers. And then the 10th plague was probably the worst, because it was the angel of death coming to kill all the firstborn children. And so the Jews were told if they put a lamb's blood over their door, that the angel of death would pass over. And so that's their celebration. So that's called Passover in English. But I think that, of course, is not the name of Passover in Hebrew. I think it's something like Pesach or something. I don't think I'm pronouncing it right, but anyway. And it's very interesting. I'm going to show you some similarities. So when we think of the word Easter, where did it come from? Well, it actually came from a pagan goddess, the goddess of spring and fertility. And her name was, I don't know how you say it, Esther, Eoster. Pretty close to Easter. Anyway, that's what the Germans and the British called that time, the Christians. So, but it's, what's very interesting is that if you go to other countries in Europe, like Denmark, they called it, what was it? Something like, oh, I can't remember, but it's very similar to the, or that. And the same in Italy. Italy, all the other countries in Europe had some derivation of the Jewish word for Passover that they called Easter. And it was only the Germans and the British who used the goddess of rebirth and renewal, the pagan goddess. And that's where we got our word Easter from. Now, the reason I'm telling you, and by the way, and what is the pagan celebration of this time? It's a celebration of, basically, we're all celebrating the spring equinox. And you know what the spring equinox is? There's the shortest day of the year in winter, the longest day of the year. So December 21st, shortest day, longest day, June 21st. Then we have the two equinoxes, where the days and nights are of equal length. The spring equinox is a celebration of spring. It's a renewal, because that means it's equal now. The sun is rising. And the sun will hit June 21st and will start to go down. And that's the cycle. Everything's in cycles. Even time, by the way. Time is not linear. So the pagan celebration was, it was in Greece, they called it Pascha. Italy, something like Pascua. It was very, very similar to Denmark. I'm not saying right. Pasche, I don't know. Anyway, all derivations of the Jewish name, the Hebrew name for Passover. But what I'd like everyone to get from this is that we're celebrating, and often people that are of specific religions consider, like the Native Americans who worshipped the sun or things like that, as being savages, or however we looked at it. But what I'd like to show you is that we're all the same, and we have to stop being separate. And it's time, people. It's time we come together. Okay, it's time we stop. We get rid of we eliminate the idea of separateness and come together. I've been almost every country of the world, not all of them, but many. And the basic person in every country is just wants to have a happy life with their family and friends, and they don't want more than they need. They just want what they need. That's the average human being, and it's the people that are making all the rules up there, that get 18-year-old males to leave their family and go kill people they've never met or knew. And, in my generation, I don't know if we were the first, but we were really quite loud about it. We said, I'm not going to Vietnam and killing those people. They didn't. No. And that's the message I'd like to get everybody to realize. We are the elephant. Let's say no. Whatever they're going to tell us, say no. But we all have to do it. Okay. But anyway, so we thought we had a chance in the 60s. You know, we finally said no. We walk around with peace and love, which is really how we should be. We all love each other. I mean, we could if we get rid of these arbitrary differences. And, you know, the big ones are religion. Unfortunately, most people of their religion think their religion's got the answer and the others don't. And we know, but I've read all the books. I've read the original scriptures of all of them. And they're all talking about the same God. They're all talking about the same ethics and qualities and morals. Really. And there's only one God. Who else could we be talking about? There's only one God. So let me take that into one other thing. And I apologize if I'm not being medical right now, but it doesn't matter. This is important. We think of monotheism and polytheism. Like, I think it's pretty much considered, believed to be true that the Jews were the first ones that were monotheists, thinking that there's one God, right? Mono and theist. Theism, is about God. And their God was Yahweh. And then out of Judaism became a Muslim, and their God was Allah. And then, of course, Christians. So, and then we look over at the Hindus and we say, well, they're polytheists. They have many gods. And if one were to study that, they would find out that that's absolutely not true. They have a concept of Brahman. Brahman is the unknowable, the ultimate reality of all things. Sound like our God? Unknowable. Fabric of existence, that the unknowable, but it's the ultimate reality. And therefore, you cannot have a relationship with that aspect of things. So they say that in order to have a relationship with this unknowable, they call it Ishvara. Ishvara is the aspect of the divine that is able to interact. That it's not different, it's just an aspect of it. And then Ishvara is, you know, Ishvara means, actually the word Shiva comes from there. We think of Shiva and Shakti. And they're not gods separate from God. They are aspects of it. Just like the Native American worshiping the sun is not thinking that the sun, the Native American knows the ultimate reality has produced a sun that gives us light. And by the way, to all of us Hebrews and Jews and Muslims, what was the first word out of God's mouth? That's right, let there be light. So it's not really a pagan. I want you all to see that we're all doing our best, and we're all really I am. We are all I. Anyway, let there be light. And out of the light came what? All things. When the light hits the leaf, it transforms it into electrons, which are how biological life has its existence. But the Native Americans were there because they knew that the sun gave them crops and gave them warmth and all that stuff. You know, it's a manifestation of God. All of nature is a manifestation of God. So if I love plants, does that mean I don't love God? No. If I love the sun, does it mean I don't love God? No. So polytheism is totally misunderstood. There's only one. But it's got multiple aspects. That's the beauty of it. Alan Watts said, all of this that we see around the universe is God playing hide and seek with himself. It's a pretty interesting way of looking at things. Anyway, and the last thing I'd like to say before we get started with our real job, and that is, and maybe this is a message for me more than anyone else, because I often say, I wish I was born about 6,000-7,000 years ago, or at least not in this world. I don't like machines and all that. But I don't know if any of you ever know Stevie Wonder, knew his music. But well, he came from that generation that there was so much incredible music. It was almost scriptural, like Bob Dylan. I mean, And by the way, he got a Nobel. You can't argue about Dylan. He's the only songwriter in the history of the world that became a Nobel laureate for literature. Anyway, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't think any rappers are going to get that. We'll see. I'm probably wrong. Anyway, Stevie wrote one song that I think perhaps the most incredible. It's called As. And if you haven't heard it, get the lyrics, get quiet, read the lyrics as you listen to them. And if you had heard it, go listen again. But one thing, I'm going to read this one line that reminds me. It says, we all know sometimes life hates and troubles can make you wish you were born in another time and space. But you can bet your lifetime that, and twice its double, that God knew exactly where he wanted you to be placed. That's what I got to keep in mind, because I really don't like being here. But, and I can't read the rest of it to you, because when I read such profound truths like that that are beautifully written, they make me cry, so I can't read it. But anyway, let's get on with our work for the day. Go listen to that song. Get the words first so you can appreciate it. And if you've heard it already, listen again. Beautiful. So, question number one from Caroline. Detox cleanse, invasive ductal carcinoma of left breast. Tumor is 2.5 to 3 centimeter, grade 2. I'm 44 and never pregnant. Okay, Caroline. So what this tells me that you did get a biopsy and they... Oh, no. I don't know that. Oh, yeah. Ductal carcinoma. So invasive ductal carcinoma. So I want to tell you what that means. It means that the pathologist looked under the microscope of a piece of tissue that was taken from your lump on your left breast. And he saw that... Now, the breast is made up of little sacs, lobules that produce milk. It travels down the duct, out the nipple. The rest of the breast is, you know, connective tissue. And so what the pathologist did, he said, aha. When he looks at, when they first look at us, at a particular cell, the cell has a different shape now because it's a chronically fermenting cell. Why does it have a different shape? Because the functions of this cell are not different. It's as if all of our cells in our body have an operating system called oxidative phosphorylation. Call it a MAC operating system. Now, suddenly, the foundation of the MAC system is gone. Now you have to turn into Windows or whatever they call it. It's a different operating system. And that's what happens. So you knock out the mitochondria of a cell, the energy-making equipment, and the cell has to go into a default mode of energy production called glycolysis, or popularly known as fermentation. So in order to do that, it's got to turn this off, turn that off, turn this on, turn that, and it makes a whole different expression of its genes. This gene is silenced, this gene is turned on. So these genes are required to make this new operating system, fermentation, work. They're called oncogenes. But they are the downstream epiphenomenon. And the foundation of it all is the fact that the mitochondria are gone. So anyway, they found that, so the pathologist looked and he found, aha. That's what, and the point is this. I don't care if it's brain, elbow, ovary, colon, connective tissue, cartilage, doesn't matter. They're all they're fermenting cells. By the way, everybody figure out what your birth sign is if you don't know it. You know, like if you're a Gemini or a Leo or whatever it is. And next time somebody says to you, how's your cancer? Just say, I'm Scorpio. What are you talking about? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm Libra. Now, if you are cancer, you say, well, how'd you know my? No, not you're pretty good at that. Now, guess what day I was born? Was it the end of June or early July? You know, turn it around. Don't play their game. Don't use their words. Okay, so... None of you have any zodiac signs in your body. You might have some chronically fermenting cells, but that's a different story. So anyway, happy spring equinox. Happy new year. This is the new year. It's beginning. We have other things. I don't know if you saw that New Year's thing I did, but this, you know, here's a year coming up. In fact, the Thais celebrate New Year's, Songkran, at this time, the New Year, it's spring. Okay. But so, Caroline, when you first of all saw the cells, an individual cell, I was able to say, aha, yes, it is definitely chronically fermenting cell, but he uses, you know, maybe he's an astrologer, because, you know, MDs are mythology doctors, so. But I said, astrology is not a myth. So it can't be that. Anyway, who found Jesus? Who found out where he was born? Astrologers, that's right. They call them the three wise men. In fact, there's astrology all throughout the Bible, regardless of what old, new. So invasive, that means it was within the duct and it went through the lining of the duct. So it's invasive and it's carcinoma. It's an absolutely useless term. It's a description of the microscopic anatomy. And all it does is it gives you the proper nomenclature to stick it on this sales and product and sales algorithm, product and services sales algorithm developed by the American Society of Clinical Oncology, and which are the guidelines for all the oncologists. And they're not really guidelines. That's a euphemism for the word instructions. All right. Is possible to heal papillary carcinoma without removing the thyroid? Yes! It's removing anything doesn't heal it. We'll talk about that in a moment. Listen, and I didn't forget cirrhosis. Ductal carcinoma means, it just means it went through. That's all it means. All right. And if it was still in the duct, they'd call it ductal carcinoma in situ. And if it started in the lobule that makes the milk, they'd call it lobular. So they're not nothing. They're descriptions. They don't tell you how you got it or how to get rid of it. So they're useless. Grade. They give it a grade 2. I don't care what they want to give it. And there are no stages. There are no stages. What? There are no stages. What we call stage 1 is when, or what they call stage 1. I'm a recovering allopath. What they're calling stage 1 is it formed in some organ and it's not very big. It hasn't destroyed the architecture of the organ. Stage 2 is getting a little bit bigger, starting to destroy the architecture of the organ. Stage 3, it got into the lymph, and stage 4, it got into another organ elsewhere, a different organ. I'll tell you why that's a ridiculous concept, because if you have 1 gram, which is just barely like a nodule on the prostate, small on pancreas, breast, just barely feel it. It's already been 8 years. Cells double, and then they double, then they double. During that time, little microscopic islands have broken off and traveled down the lymph and down the blood vessels that drain it, and they've gone, and they're there. But the main organ, the main tumor, is producing something called vascular endothelial growth factor and all those sort of things. Well, the conditions are, which is hypoxia, low oxygen, and acidity, which is stimulating something called hypoxia-inducible factor alpha, 1-alpha, and stimulates a whole cascade of events. But anyway, the primary tumor, little, even though it's little, is sending out messages to all, or is sending out inhibitory signals so that all the other satellite microscopic islands cannot start producing blood vessels. And to grow 1 millimeter, it needs blood vessels. So that's what's happening. So basically, when you find one little knot, it's already microscopically stage 4. And the problem is when you now stick a needle in it to take it out and show it to the pathologist so he can tell you what he sees, you release that inhibition, and now all those other little islands, microscopic islands, can start to grow. Same thing when you do surgery. And by the way, when we do these groups we're going to do, and I have one is a cancer group, I have to use that word, sorry, one is a parasite group and one is general. And they're separate from this, but we'll be able to specifically talk about those issues. But when we do that, I'll be on Zoom where I'll be able to show you the research, because there's not anything I say that I have not backed up. When I'm talking to you about monotheism, polytheism, you think I made that up? No. No. I read. I didn't know anything when I was born. So everything I'm telling you, I read. But specifically about biopsies and surgeries, it's in the literature, in the surgical literature, it's in the oncology literature. I mean, I'll show you when we have our group. I can't show you on these platforms. So anyway, what I'm telling you, Caroline, is when you get, in order, the fact that you've got this diagnosis, you understand diagnosis just means a name, right? How do you separate dia and gnosis, G-N-O-S, G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis, Gnostics, knowledge, no. How do you separate and know something? You give it a name. You give it a name and now it has existence. That's why God spoke the universe into existence. Okay, names are very powerful. Words are very powerful. That's why prayer is important. That's why being nice and blessing people. So forget their grading system. Forget their staging system. And if it's 2.5 to 3 centimeters, that's okay. Don't worry. It's ductal carcinoma. It's an invasive ductal carcinoma. That's what they're calling it, but that's not what it is. It's just you've got some chronically fermenting cells in your left breast. You now know that for sure. You didn't have to do the biopsy because there was nothing else it could have been. If it's a hard mass, there's nothing else it could have been. But now what you have to do is you have to do what we all have to do. No matter what condition you're in, it's like I said, you've got to go to a biological dentist, have them do a cone beam CT, find any, if you have root canals, those that have to come out. If you have any titanium implants or any other metals in mercury, or any silver fillings, all the metals have to come out. So anything dead, any metals and anything dead in the head must not be in the head, must get out of the head. Metals and dead must get out of the head, something like that. You got to get all that out, and you got to find out if you have cavitations and all that and clean that up. It's the most important. Then you got to do a juice cleanse. You got to do colonics. You have to do all the things that we talk about. And for you, you should be getting some Lugol's iodine, 5% if you can, liquid. And you put, you can paint it over that mass where it is, and put a couple drops on the other breast every day. Because the iodine in there helps with estrogen metabolism. It helps estrone go to estriol. Very important. Estrone is an agonist for the alpha receptor, which makes these things grow, and estriol is an agonist for the beta receptor, which shrinks them. The other thing you want to be doing is eating a lot of soy, in whatever form you can, and flax, 2 to 3 tablespoons of flax seeds ground up a day, put them in a nut milk, and then whatever else you want to put in and make a smoothie out of it. Because flax seeds not only are the beta agonist, but they also down-regulate our body's ability, our body's production of alpha receptors. You don't want alpha receptors. And then you're eating soy, which is a yes, it's a phytoestrogen, and yes, it stimulates the beta receptor, just like estriol. And by the way, anybody who's ER positive, and we're all worried about that, and they're told to take tamoxifen and all these other, letrozole and all that, those things are artificial. They have incredible, they call them side effects, but they're not on the side. They're right in the middle of everything. And I'm just telling you, once you cleanse, you find the source of the toxicity, you clean it out, then you eat nothing but real food. You go to sleep early, you move around, you eat real food. You do fasting and cleansing. And most of all, you take care of the mind. Because your mind is filled with fear and doubt, which is the fuel of the fear produces or suppresses the immune system. If you have a suppressed immune system, you cannot resolve anything. Fear and doubt. And by the way, doubt is another way of saying believe. If I say I believe you, that means I doubt you. If I say I know you're telling me the truth, then I know you're telling me. There's a difference between belief and doubt. I mean, belief and knowing. Knowing, you know. What are you saying? I actually had an experience where people tried to scare me, so I couldn't not fight physical sickness. I don't understand, actually. Anyway, yeah, I mean, root canals. I'm going to tell you something. If you had a root canal, I mean, I saw... a lady yesterday, and I know you're probably on listening to this, but anyway, this lady, and like many others, had a few root canals. And whether or not they're on the meridian of that organ, wherever you have it, the problem, they are still causing major problems, because when in order to make do a root canal, they clean out the pulp, which has the lymphatics, the blood vessels, and the nerves. And they use that, and they have that, now they have a dead root, and they fill it up with cement and put a crown on it. And now, since there's no blood supply, there's no immunity, no immune cells can travel there. So these guys mutate, and they produce biotoxins, and they're like taunting the immune system. The immune system can't get at it, doesn't quite see where it is, but the immune system can sense all these biotoxins. So your immune system gets disturbed, regardless of whether it's on that meridian. But if it's on that meridian, wherever it is blocking all the energy that goes through those organs, so they can't heal, and they have problems. Now, remember, this is happening in the jawbone, either below or above. And if the bigger the cavitation gets, the bigger from the root canal or from the cavitation, it can go over other teeth. And then start including other meridians. A meridian is a circuit, just like how it is like your kitchen light, bedroom light, and bathroom light go out. And you get one fuse and you put it in and you've got it back on. Those are meridians. So we've got all the meridians of our body. They're all connected. Our body's connected by multiple different kinds of pathways. For example, muscles, joints, organs are all connected by fascia. And then there's blood vessels that go everywhere, so they're connecting things. So there's always there's multiple ways of our body having circuits within them. But these are very powerful circuits. Anyway, they all come up to our mouth in our teeth, because your bite is the top of your spinal cord. It's C1. And that's why if you have cranial problems, if you have anything birth, we have seven bones that have to, our head has to be small to get through the cervix of our mother, and then when it comes back and finally settles, there's probably 99% of the people doesn't quite settle perfectly, and that will change their bite, which will change their occlusion, which will change their autonomic nervous system, the spinal system. So Caroline, you need to cleanse, and part of what we need to do is get rid of the parasites that we all have. All of us have parasites, and after you do cleanse, you'll have more. So you have to do like I was doing one. Things got all disturbed when I came here. Everything. So, but when I get back, I'll get resume my cleanse. But I'm doing like six this year, and then I'll do maybe three every year. And you don't have to be an animal eater to get parasites, because the roundworms have half of their life cycle in the soil. So that's what you got to do, Caroline. And don't worry. The other one is, I just watched some of my other live streams that have been all been. Recorded on Instagram and Facebook, and yeah, that's where I've been doing it the lo longest. And I talk about the way to take oral vitamin C, because we need it. Vitamin C is extremely essential and magical when it comes to CFCs. So you think take about 8 grams of powdered sodium ascorbate, put in a liter of water, and sip on it very slowly for 7 hours. So that each sip is no more than 150, 200 milligrams, because that's all you can absorb at any one time. Take a lot of vitamin A, 40, 50,000 units a day. Take a lot of vitamin D until your level is up to 100. Iodine in the form of Lugol's. Adjust your thyroid, which you'll find out. I've talked about that before. And melatonin. Those are the fundamentals. But you also should also take some medicinal mushrooms like reishi, turkey tail, mitoc, agaricus. A lot of they're very important because they stimulate the natural killer cell function. Now, this is Elaine. I'm losing so much weight, and now I weigh 115. I'm 171 centimeters. Otherwise healthy. Are too many nuts? Nut butters, coconut fats, detrimental to eliminating CFCs. Also, how can I tell if my supplements are actually working for me? I take everything recommended plus Pectisol and IP6 Gold, Asiatic tea, and immunomodulators in the form of mushrooms. So you're in Scotland. Okay. Hi, Elaine. Not only are nuts, nut butters, coconut fats not bad for you, they're essential to healing. And this has to do with cellular voltage. When we talk about things being alkaline, what we mean is it's the opposite of acidic. An acidic is a naked proton, which needs an electron, so it steals electrons. Alkaline has extra electrons, so it donates them. So again, if we're alkaline, we have extra electrons. Then we talk about oxidation and antioxidation. Oxidation is, again, stealing electrons, and antioxidants is donating electrons. All right? So remember we talked about a little earlier, electrons are the substance of biological life. Well, the sum total of our electrons availability in every cell is called cellular voltage. And a healthy cell is 22 millivolts, minus 22 millivolts. The minus just means electron. You got to get up to 50 to heal an acute inflammation, and you got to get up to 70 to hold, to get rid of CFCs. So you need a lot of fats. What would happen? Verify to continue. Oh my God. Okay. What was that? Excuse me one second. All right. Sorry. Very sorry. So cellular voltage. The reason eating a lot of nuts is very important for it is because voltage is like a battery will have voltage. That means that's how much charge it's holding, how many electrons it's holding, because electricity is the flow of electrons. And that's what we are, right? That's why we do EKGs and EEGs, etc. And we got patterns going on, and we can tell by the pattern what's going on. And when the pattern stops and you got a flat line, it's all over. Okay. So what holds the charge in a cell is the membrane. The membrane has a biphospholipid membrane, which actually, when you look at the actual structure, it's the same structure as a capacitor. It's two conductors separated by an insulator, which is what they are. So we're making 37 million new cells every second, and they are made about 50% of fat. And so that means you've got to have a lot of fat available to be used in the synthesis of these these phospholipids. So where did you get them from? KFC, Pizza Hut? Or did you get them from chia seeds and hemp seeds and flax seeds and nuts and nut butters? If you did, you're going to have powerful membranes. You're going to be able to hold the charge up to 70, and this will all go away. That's it. It comes down to that. Can you imagine? It actually comes down to one thing, and that is having enough electrons. As bizarre as that might sound, it's the absolute truth. And if you talk to any biologist or cellular physiologist or biochemist, you'll know that the foundation of life, biological life, is called redox biochemistry. Redox biochemistry is the electron exchange. And as long as electrons are being exchanged, whatever they are, they came from light. And you can get electrons into your body by going barefoot on the ground. You can get electrons by hugging someone, by holding hands, by petting an animal, holding your children, being barefoot outside and climbing a tree, near flowing water like a river or the ocean. Lots of electrons. And by the way, you're not going to believe it, but it's time to believe it. And that is, if you have food that's not cooked, it's full of electrons. And if you cook it, there's no more electrons, where they're not available to you. As a matter of fact, in order to digest cooked food, it's going to require your electrons, which is why people after Thanksgiving are falling asleep. It's nine, oh, what are they saying? Turkey has tryptophan. It doesn't matter if they ate turkey or not. They could eat steak. They're going to fall asleep. Because when you eat a lot of cooked food, it takes a lot of your energy. Watch the person eating salads and fruit. they won't be sleeping, and they also won't need that extra wine because they're not, because wine would actually make someone who's healthy feel bad. To be intoxicated and feel good means you're already more toxic, and you're just changing the toxicity. Because the word intoxicated means to get toxic. How could that feel good? It doesn't. So you give a drink to a child, and they'll go, oof. Give a cigarette or a cigar to a young child, oof. All right? You've got to develop a taste for it, yeah? Yeah, well, if you have to develop a taste for something, don't. What does it mean to develop a taste for something? You know what it means? It means that you get used to the toxicity. And now you kind of like it. Hey, I like that toxin. That's a pretty good toxin. One of the reasons getting intoxicated feels good is it makes you kind of numb, but it also makes you not be so caught up in the drama. And by the way, humans are not the only creatures on Earth who get intoxicated. Did you know that elephants, they have this order of, like the elders are higher status, unlike our culture, right? The younger you are, the better, right? Young, thin, rich, isn't that it? Did I miss one? Oh, and beautiful. That's it. That's all you need. You notice there's one really important word missing, one important concept missing there, which is more valuable than all of them. It's called health. Because without it, there's nothing else. And all of you that are on this listening know that. Know that. You know that health is not to be negotiated. It's not to be coerced, demanded, purchased, but it can only be earned. It can only be earned. Like respect. You got a boss that's running around screaming at people and he's requiring that they show him some respect. Well, that's all they're going to do is show it to him. But they don't respect him. Respect is earned. Health is earned. Love is a gift to us all. Now, so anyway, no. At least 60% of your diet, at least, needs to be healthy fats. Healthy fats. Uncooked fats. Uncooked fats. Cooked fats are probably very bad. And then you will make, once you get, you're able to get your cellular voltage up to 70, wherever that is, no CFCs, no arthritis, nothing. So keep it up. And you're also, now, the IP6 is great. Pectisol is great. SEACT is great. But really, you don't need them all. I mean, IP6 is good. But, you know, pectisol, which is modified citrus pectin, is really, it's a anti-inflammatory in a way. Because galactin 3, which is a marker for inflammation, cardiologists use it, is directly suppressed with modified citrus pectin. Pectisol is just a brand, but it's the one where all the research was done, so I would use it. But I would say the mushrooms are important. IP6 is good, but other than that, you're going to be living a healthy life. And the only supplements you'll really need are what I said, A, D, and C. Iodine, fix your thyroid. And melatonin. And then, of course, the mushrooms. Now, remember, the word supplement means in addition to something is inadequate. Then there's less supplementation. If you're eating a typical diet, then you need two of everything that you can possibly find, like in Sprouts or something, or Whole Foods. But so Elaine, the ACACT and the Pectisol, you don't really need. If anyone's going to have surgery on a CFC for any reason, you want to start the Pectisol at least 2 weeks before, because galactin 3 is produced and during surgery. And what it does is it helps the tumor cells that escaped adhere to the wall and break through and go into another organ. So Pectisol will prevent that. So Elaine of Glasgow, you're doing good. I don't know what else you're doing, but keep it up. Would you eating nuts and seeds and all that, and seed butters, nut butters? Yes, 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 yes. Just remember that fire, you guys all know the story of Prometheus. Well, Prometheus was caught bringing fire from the gods to man. And his punishment was they tied him to a mountain for eternity. And every day, I forget the bird, probably an eagle, probably a bald eagle, but I don't know. Some kind of bird came and ate his liver. And then it would grow back overnight. And it would happen again. So for eternity, he's still up there, wherever that mountain is. He's got some bird eating his liver and it's growing back. I find that very interesting because he brought fire to humanity. And with the fire, they cooked. And one of the main organs of digestion is the liver. Could there be? Probably not. I'm probably just seeing a connection that is not there. But all right, so here's Astrid. I don't have an official diagnosis of good. Pending a biopsy on April Fool's Day. April didn't happen yet. Don't get a biopsy. Oh, I've heard on other docuseries the bad effect of the biopsy puncturing the capsule, causing it to spread. My doctor was awful, they all are, and told me not to have hope. Sounds like a Rockefeller doctor. Unbelievable. Not to have hope. She'd be surprised if it weren't CFCs, as I'm 4 to 5 centimeters. As it is 4 to 5 centimeters. Well, she's right, and there's no reason to do it. You had someone that remember what I was telling that other woman. You know what it is. So just don't when you do a biopsy of it, all you're going to do is you're going to let the pathologist give them a name that they can put on their sales algorithm. Now, if you refuse a biopsy, this is great. If you refuse a biopsy, you send the whole medical system into a tailspin. The doctor freaks out. They freak out. You know why? Because all they can call it is a breast mass. Oh, my God. Calling it a breast mass, it doesn't fit anywhere on this sales algorithm. So what do? I have to think now. I have to try to figure out something to do. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. And if I do that, I'll get in trouble. And, you know, I got to feed my family and take care of my kids. You know, the hell with the patients. Yeah, you think I'm kidding, right? Anybody think I'm kidding out there? I'm not kidding. I'm deadly serious. If you've got a 4.5 to 5 centimeter hard mass in your breast, there is nothing else that it could be. You remember Bob Dylan said, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. So, anyway, you're lucky. I think a lot of people come to me because I don't require a biopsy. Of course, I don't require it. Listen, if you wanted some honey and there was a bee's nest up there, would you like poke a hole in the thing, trying to get the honey out? Probably not. My doctor was awful and told me not to have hope. And she seems to love being harsh. Yeah, they do. Is this totally true as the Gerson Clinic was real mainstream about it and said you have to get a biopsy? Gerson herself may be turning over in her grave. My intuition suggests that you speak the truth. You speak the truth lies in the natural approach. And your online visits are already booked. Saw the truth about cancer years ago. I have had traumatic relationships. Yeah. Okay, very good. So, I mean, I'm just, now I get it. So Astrid. Okay, so you got it's going on in your breast. I guess, is that where it is? Is it your breast? You didn't say, but it sounds like it must be, because if she can tell it's 4 to 5 centimeters, maybe she was by touch. But that's what it, it's just one of those things. And you don't, it doesn't matter whether it's estrogen receptor positive, negative, HER2 negative, blah, blah, blah. Those are just, all those diagnostic categories are there to sell you different products and services. Yes, 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 yes. That's all. That's all. That's all. But I can, but you're right. Yeah. If you are continuing the same lifestyle you had and you take Herceptin and you have HER2 positive, it'll keep you, it'll keep it from growing for a while until it doesn't. Same with tamoxifen and all those other ones. Does it eliminate the fundamental original thing? No. Why? Because it's not trying to, is it? What's it trying to do? It's trying to keep you around longer. Because they are in their mind already, and they tell a lot of patients this, people this, you know, there's no cure. And actually, they're right. There is no cure because there are no diseases. There's a body doing an adaptive dance. And we got to make that dance not necessary. Pretty easy, pretty simple. So throw out the words cure. Yeah, now the Gerson, Max Gerson was the original guy. His daughter Charlotte is the one that, I don't know, she passed or she's still alive. But she's tried to carry on his legacy. And, you know, he had lots of apple and carrot juice. And it's easy to drink because it tastes so sweet and good. And he's right in many regards, because the carrot juice has got all kinds of stuff, especially lots of vitamin A, like we're talking about. It's just that it is pretty sweet. And I think you can get, it's got to be sweet enough to taste good, but it doesn't have to be overly sweet. And I think that's a little bit over. Also, Gerson, at least nowadays, uses way too much cooked food and other things. And yeah, I think they're pretty mainstream. In that they used to get the biopsy. So, I mean, I don't think Charlotte was that way. I don't know if she passed. I don't know. Anybody know Charlotte Gerson passed? I was in a documentary with her years ago. What was it called? I looked at it recently just for a little bit, and I can't believe how young I was. It was at Oasis when we first opened Oasis. Only 19 years ago, 18 years ago. It's a good documentary. It's called Some Guy Came Around. He came to me, went to Charlotte, and he went to a few other people, and then he promoted himself. This is way before, you know, Jonathan Landsman, way before, what's his name? The big guy. Got all the Instagrams of him doing lifting weights. What's his name? Anybody know his name? The guy, he does a lot of documentaries and interviews all these doctors, and he's become an expert. And he's always lifting weights lately. Anyway, I forget his name. You know. Anyway, before all that guy, before all those guys came, before the truth about cancer came, before all that, this guy made one. It's called Healing with Cancer. Healing. It's a good one. You should see it. Not because I was in it, but it was good. Anyway, it was good. Very good. It gives a really good explanation of things. Let me find it. Oh. Yeah, I think it was called Healing Cancer from the Inside Out. Let me see, is that it? Yeah, Mike Anderson, that's it, yeah. Healing Cancer from the Inside Out, A Practical Guide to Healing Cancer. But anyway, no, there's a video. I can't show you, I can't share with you. Anyway, on Amazon, there's a CD. We have it at our clinic, but it's really good because it explains a lot of the industry that we're talking about now. It predates all these famous guys. Oh, I can't remember his name, that guy that likes to lift weights now. He shows himself. He's always on, coming up every day, lifting weights. Ty Bollinger did too, remember? Ty is now lifting weights. And remember his first TTAC? He did. But no, this is the other, I don't remember his name. Yes, I'm tired, you guys. Sorry. Life in the United States of America. Where the heck are my questions now? All right. Wait, what happened to them? What the heck? Question. I have to look this up. Answers I have. March 31st, okay, we have the answers. Now, where's the questions? Gosh. There it is. I got to just, come on, where'd you go? I just clicked on you. Hey, my God. Oh, don't you love technology? I mean, it's just made our lives so really incredible. I just can't believe it. I'm so glad I was born right now. Oops, there I go again, being facetious. But hey, no, I'm not impressed. I've never seen an awesome machine of you. I've seen an awesome sunset. I've seen an awesome forest. But I've never seen an awesome machine. Meaning I don't get in a state of awe. Oh, my battery's going low. So let me plug that in. Where is it? You know, I understand. You must all think I'm highly unprofessional. And it's actually true. And I'm actually happy about that. I would hate to be a professional. Or I'd hate to act professional. I'd hate someone to say, my God, he's so professional. If someone said that about me, it'd be like saying, he's so normal. And I have never been accused of being normal. So here are we. My intuition says, yeah. So I do, yeah, I speak the truth because, Astrid, that's all I know. I don't know this other stuff. I mean, I learned it, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. They gave me, I learned all these stuff, and I go, that's not what's happening. My visits are booked up, and I'm so sorry about that. But really, I'm going to have these three groups, and they're starting, by the way, at the like April 24th or something. They are starting, and you'll get notices about them. But we'll have a. It's going to be broadly about people with CFCs, and then later we might break it up into different locations, like people with breasts and stuff like that. But if you don't mind, this will be in a format where we're on Zoom, and so you'll be able to ask questions. So if you don't mind sharing your personal information as much as you want to among other people, then we can kind of turn those into, you know, almost like a Zoom consult. But yeah, no, you don't need to get in. Don't. We know what it is. We don't need to know what's, because believe me, if it's because I've had women with outside on the breast is triple positive, and then it moves into the lymph node and is triple negative. Did it mutate? No, that's not what happened. In the microenvironment in that area, it did not need to express those particular genetic the genes of those receptors was not expressed. That's all, because of the microenvironment. Okay. But again, please, I hope you were listening to this whole thing, this whole talk today, and I've got others. Start with your mouth. Get rid of everything. Get cleansed. Colonics. Go to sleep early. Movement. Learn. And everyone, listen, let me just talk about the mind for a minute. It is the most important, okay? All right. The mind is made up of what? What are the tools of our mind? Called words and pictures and maybe concepts. Broader concepts. But words and pictures, fundamentally. You know, pictures, you get a sense of something. Now, the word chair and the picture of a chair is not a chair. So these are what we call symbols. So they're not real. They're symbols. They're symbolic of reality. And we can only think about things in a place called time. So we can think about what's going to happen, and we can think about what did happen, and we can think about what could happen, should happen, might have happened, could have happened, should have happened, maybe, and if. Well, none of that is real, because it isn't. What is right now? How do you think about now? You can't. You have to experience it. If you're thinking, you're going to think about the now that just passed or whatever. And the reason you can't is because now is eternal. It has no beginning, it has no end. It's eternal. It's the home of God. And we don't go there. We 99.99999% of our lives were spent in could have, should have, maybe, could have, if, maybe, as soon as, but never are we here now. Anyway, here's the problem with the mind, too. In addition to it being insane, right? Everybody with their mouth closed is insane. Indigenous being a thing, it's not a voluntary act. No one decides to think, I think I'll start thinking. No, thinking happens just like your heart beats and your lungs breathe and your glands secrete. It's happening. By the way, we're human beings, not human doings. Okay? You can't control them. The mind is like a fish on the beach, flopping around, going nowhere. This is why we hate being alone. And if we're alone, we're going to grab a book, magazine, turn on something, call somebody, but not just be. Anyway, 90% of the mind is subconscious, meaning you don't know what you're thinking. You don't even know what your internal dialogue is. And 80% of all human thought is negative. Because we grow up with no stop, don't. And the immune system is the shadow of the mind. So when you're extremely happy, you've got a high immune system. When you're extremely sad, it's suppressed. So the poor immune system being the shadow of the mind is like being dragged by a rope on the back of a roller coaster. So as long as you're thinking, since 80% is negative, as long as you're thinking, even if you're picturing a beautiful lake with a rainbow or whatever, forest, you still got 80% under there that's under the surface that's negative, which means you've got your foot on the brakes of the immune system. There's only two ways to get it off. And when you do, miracles happen. Not miracles. The miracle of life, by the way, I said this last week, the miracles, God has already made all the miracles. It's called existence. It's called. And remember, creation didn't happen. It's a happening, right? It wasn't created. It is being created every moment. Why? Because why should it remain? So that's the miracle. And there's certain rules and laws that hold it all together. And only within those rules and laws will anything happen, which is why Jesus did not take Satan's offer to jump off the cliff. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And you can pray. You can be a good Jew, a good Muslim, a good Christian, a good whatever, and pray and chant and everything, but you step off the cliff, you're going to fall at 32 feet per second squared, period. These laws are not negotiable. So, by the way, our immune systems are so powerful that if they were fully functional and you had CFCs in every cell in your body, they'd be gone in 2 weeks. So if you get this thing operating, there's a miracle right there, our immune system. You got to tap into it. Tap into it two ways. One, you stop thinking. It's not easy, but the way you stop thinking is you listen to your breathing and you commit to 2 minutes. Can you commit to 2 minutes? Yeah, I bet you can. And how long? How frequently? 5 times a day. 2 minutes, 5 times a day. You can do it. You go someplace, you're quiet, you sit up straight but comfortable, and you listen with all your heart and soul to your breathing, just gentle breathing. And you won't last 3 seconds. You'll be off and running. As soon as you realize it, come back. Then you'll be off again, come back. Keep coming back. Maybe after about a month or two, you might be able to stay there for it just listening purely to just without any thoughts, just listening for 5 seconds. And when you do, you go through a doorway. And you enter the here and now, and you're in the presence of God. And your immune system flies. Why? Because the price of admission to the here and now is your mind. So you're just listening to breathing. That's all you're listening to. You're 100% focused on that, and you enter. And you leave the mind there. And when you do that, it flies. It's called a psychoneuroimmunology. You got to work at it. You got to develop a mind muscle. The second way is faith. And faith, as I don't know if I still told you, but it has nothing to do with believing, right? It has to do with knowing. Do you believe in God? No. I know about God. Just like I don't believe in mountains, I know about mountains. I don't believe in the Easter Bunny, but I think I might believe in Santa Claus. I'm not sure. I got to figure that one out. You can only believe in things that are not true, but you know or don't know things that are true. So when you know what's going to happen before it happens, Not believe, know. That's faith. And I have seen it in my practice, the clinic, so many times. I think I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because you guys should hear it every time you can. Woman had breast CFCs that had gone all over her body. They were in her bones and her lungs and her heart. I mean, her liver, her brain. I can't remember. So she went to one of the witches and warlocks in the House of Horrors, also known as an oncologist or a doctor. And he had the audacity and the gall to tell her she had 3 weeks to live. 3 weeks to live. So she came. She was brought in on a gurney, not a wheelchair, a gurney, because she was lying flat. And I walked up to her bed. She was in the middle of our main room there. And I walked up to her bed and I said, hello. And she grabbed my arm. And she had seen some videos. And she said, thank God. Now I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to make it. 6 weeks later, she was jogging to our clinic. Her husband was driving behind her, make sure she didn't get tired. And 8 years later, I get a postcard from Paris. They're on vacation. 3 weeks, everywhere. So faith takes your foot off the brakes permanently. The other one, the psychoneuroimmunology, also called meditation, is really important because you got to get started. So you got to develop that. Because finally, when you get to that point where you can go there at will, and you do that a few times a day, it'll be enough to eliminate everything. Now, what is the bridge between fear and faith? It's called knowledge. And that's what you need. You need the true knowledge, not the myths, but the knowledge of what I've just been teaching you about the immune system, about the mind, about the fact that these are chronically fermenting cells, and that the fact that if you ever doubt if you can heal or not, just go into the kitchen, you take a little knife and you cut your finger and you tell me what happens. What'll happen is it'll bleed and then it'll scab and then it will heal. Now, you've all heard about the CERN, CERN. I think it's got its own country now. It's a massive particle accelerator. They're accelerating protons. Oh, by the way, they turn on. That's just a coincidence. Just another coincidence. They're going to start it up again. They've been down for a couple of years. On April 8th, which just happens to coincide with the solar eclipse that they're trying to freak us out about, right? This solar eclipse is not like any other solar eclipse. It could even knock out our lights. Now, wait, where did I hear that before? What was his name? Klaus the Slob? Oh, I mean, Klaus Schwab? Yeah, oh, that's right. He was saying that this next thing, when the lights are out, he goes, it will make COVID seem like whatever, he said. So I think part of their plan is to knock out the lights. A couple reasons. If you knock off all electricity, what will happen by day 3 or 4? You're going to have a lot more crime. A lot more crime. And that will justify martial law. Secondly, when they feel like they've accomplished a few goals, then they turn the lights back on and, okay, you'll go back to your everything. When you check out when you go to the ATO, you'll find out there's no more, you have no more dollars or euros or wherever you are, Singaporean dollars or whatever. But rather you have central bank digital currency. Yeah. So I don't know. That's the CERN, the CERN is coming back on. They're going to be sending protons. It's accelerating protons, which are the center of a nucleus. I mean, the center of the nucleus of an atom at just a little less than the speed of light. And they're going to have them come and into each other. And they thought they would do it on that because they thought that maybe they had something to do with, they made up some excuse about the solar, you know, the moon and the sun and all that. Anyway, you have to remember one thing too. whatever we read about and hear about is a distraction. The truth is either the opposite or something that we don't know. April 8th, you guys. You ready? I'm not. I'll still be here. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'll be here. Oh, my God. I'm supposed to leave right after that. Whoa. Okay. Well, I don't know. I might have to leave earlier because I don't trust Klaus the slob. Now, you've had some traumatic relationships. I want to tell you something, Astrid. I understand, and I think we all have, and some people have had much worse. I mean, I've known people that grew up with, you know, being sexually and physically abused as children. So, I mean, some of us have, and then other people have been in relationships with spouses where it was physically, emotionally abusive, and I mean, it's horrible. But you know what? When it's over, it's over. And the only thing that remains is your vague perceptions of what happened, and your right, but that's all that's real anymore. I mean, it's not even real. It's a symbol of an idea of what happened, of a perception. And what I want to say is, it's a story. So one of the most important things you can do when you have a story, when it really causes, you know, it's hard for you to talk about. That's what you've got to do is let it out. You've got to talk about it. You've got to tell your story. Just like the alcoholic who finds it, is attending AA meetings for maybe 6 months, and they can't go up there. And finally, they get up there and they say, "Hi, my name is, I'm an alcoholic." They finally say it. And next time, it's not so hard. Pretty soon, they're telling their story that used to make them, you know, just the thought of it made them, you know, it wiped them out. But you tell your story long enough, and soon it becomes the story, not your story. It's that story. You get it out. Catharsis is probably, not probably, it is the most important thing about therapy. Insight is meaningless. Does nothing. Because you don't even know if it's true, but you think it might be true. And that's why I... Even if it is, suppose you said you started drinking alcohol because your mother didn't breastfeed you long enough. Is that why you're drinking alcohol today? No, because you're addicted to alcohol. So, I mean, insight is if it's true, but it's never true because everything happens the way it happens because it's had to happen that way. I know. And that means God made it happen that way. And remember what Solomon said, that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And what that means is, you're finally going to fall on your knees one day, whether it's your last day or sometime sooner, and you're going to say, "I get it. I get it." He's the producer, director, script writer, casting director. He casted you for that role, and nobody could play it. But the story's been written. We're just here to learn from it. And we got a front row seat. All of us have a front row seat. The greatest story ever told, the human drama. And it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It's the same lessons. But tell your story, Astrid. Tell your story to everybody. Just tell it. And if you've got anybody out there, you've got anything that you're hiding from someone, whatever you're hiding, confess ye one to another. You've got to free yourself. Holding on to secrets is deadly. It produces, just like, I think of it as emotional pus. Tell your story, tell the truth, get it out. Even if the truth hurts, in the end, it's better because now they have the truth and they can deal with it. And anyone being lied to knows it. Even though they don't want to admit it. Anyway, look at the hardest thing I have found when I go out that door in the morning, hardest thing to find is truth. So let's look for it. And when we talk to each other, let's discuss it. There's nothing else to talk about. So Astrid, do that. Tell your story to everybody. Get it out of you so that, that there's no longer, you say, yeah, I had these relationships. Listen, I'll tell you something. I have no problem being talking personal. I don't know if I ever told people this, but I think when I was like 11, somebody that my parents knew, my mother knew, and she was married at the time, this guy, anyway, they came over and I guess they had a few drinks and he couldn't drive home. So they said, well, you can sleep. My son has twin beds and sleep in the room. So this guy tried to molest me all night. They didn't know that, of course. Fortunately, I had been at my cousin's house the week before for like a week. He lived out in Redondo Beach. I'd been at his house and he's like 2 years younger than me or 3 years younger. Anyway, I ran out of underwear. So I wore his underwear. Because I had them coming back. I had just come back. So I was wearing his underwear. And it was like, if you ever watched in the old days when women were putting on a girdle, they had to, that's what it was like. Anyway, he couldn't. I was protected by those underwear. But anyway, he still said a lot of nasty things, scared me so much. He said, if you go tell your parents, I'm going to kill you. Or something. Whoa. It was big. I was like 11. I didn't. And in those days, you know, we were innocent. I mean, I didn't even know what he was talking about. I didn't even know what, you know, not like today's 11 years old, but I didn't know what, I didn't know any of that. I didn't even ever consider sexuality. I didn't think about it. Because it wasn't everywhere the way it is now. So anyway, it was a really innocent days. So, you know, what was that? I was 11. That was 1962, right? So anyway, it blew me away. And I was like, so, you know. Anyway, one day my mother came out. I was folding papers. I had a paper out. She said, something happened. And so I said, yeah. And I told her. And she said, well, you know, she was, of course, you know, you can imagine. She was not happy about it. But she said, listen, if you want to go tell, if you don't want to do it, I understand. But we could tell the police so he doesn't do this to other boys, little boys. I said, okay. So I went to the court and I told my story and he was there and they knew by the words I was using that I could never have, you know, made it up. And anyway, he wound up doing some time. But you know what? The reason I'm telling that now is because I have no residual from that. And I think the reason is because I told the story. If my mother hadn't come up to me and her intuition didn't tell her that something had happened and I kept it, perhaps that would have changed me. So I'm just saying, tell your story. Make it the story. So it's got no attachment to you. I promise. Then you won't say I've had traumatic relationships. You can say, well, I mean, I don't know. Almost every relationship that is past could probably maybe be viewed by as traumatic. Not always, but I mean, I'm just saying that. Don't worry. And all you know about it right now is what your perceptions, your fragmented memory of the perceptions of what you thought was happening. We don't really know what happened in the past, right? That's why we have lawyers. He said that. No, she said that. Wait a minute. Did I say that? You know, so did it get really dark in here? Like, is it too dark? It's okay. You guys can see still. It looks pretty dark. Anyway, guys, tell your stories. It's not a big deal. Everybody's, you know, we're all human. We all, whatever, you know. And by the way, the Oracle of Delphi has two words above it. I say this, like, I probably say it every week, but I can't help it. It says, know thyself. Because if you know yourself, you know everyone. We're all the same. You might not want to believe that, but we are. Anatomically, emotionally, psychologically, we all need the same things. We all need to be loved. We need to love. We need to be appreciated. We love to appreciate people. We need to touch. We need to be touched. We're all the same. And when I took cadaver anatomy, I found out that we had our tests. I found out the only thing that's different is, you know, and by the way, Shakespeare figured out that there are only a certain number of stories, of dramas, and he wrote them all. There's the plays of Shakespeare's plays. But there's only a certain number of different human dramas. That's one of the good things about reading the classics, because when you read the classics and you realize that everything that we go through in all of life and has already been thought about, has already been written about, has already been. So it's great because, it gives you, it protects, the truth is important. Learning is important. So anyway, I want you all to know that whatever you have, the condition you have can heal if we can get rid of whatever's in the way and then provide your body, your earth suit, your divine earth suit with everything that it needs. And then we also have mind and spirit. So we have to realize that. So if we've got anything going on spiritually and psychologically, we've got to deal with it. We've got to learn to harmonize all aspects of our being. Okay, it's not like a car. You can't, bring your body to the doctor and say, hey, doc, fix this. I'll be back in an hour. It's not like that. So Astrid, you'll be good. You'll be fine. But just start telling it. And that's okay. Because then you'll realize it doesn't matter. The more you tell it. So catharsis, 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 catharsis. Lana, I just got a result of a FNAB cytology. That's they get a biopsy. C4 by Yokohama system for reporting breast FNAB cytology. What would you recommend? Okay. I would recommend that. I wish that you forget the words because the cytology. Okay. Fine needle aspiration biopsy, right? They took a fine needle, they put it in the blood. And they probably did a lot of them. Cytology, a CYT is always a prefix that means cell. Okay, and ology is the study of, so the study of cells. But in cytology, it's a branch of anatomy, histology. Histology is the study of microscopic anatomy. In other words, it's the study of tissue structure. So we had to study that, and we, in our we'd have to look under a microscope and say, and be able to identify that's liver, that's heart, that's kidney, that's skin, ovary, testes, whatever. I mean, we had that. That's it. Yeah, no. So, and then cytology is what they're calling it in the especially in the field of, they're just telling you what they see. It's basically histology. So, like I said before, whatever they're calling it, it's okay. It has nothing to do with what's going on in you. They're just giving you a description of what they see on the microscopic level. You understand? It doesn't help you. It doesn't change anything. You've got to do what you got to do. You got to realize that, okay, I have something in my breast. And I don't, if it could be your pancreas, it could be anywhere in your body. And that means it's an adaptation to something that there's been I've been either toxic or deprived, deficiencies or whatever, all that my body's had to adapt. So I've got to get rid of all the toxins. Remember that. I've said this over and over. I keep saying it over and over because this is what we got to do. And then I've got to do that. And then, of course, we do take vitamin C IV. We do take other things IV. We do systemic hyperthermia and all that. But if you can't afford to do that stuff and you do all of this and you get control of your mind, you'll be fine. Get control. They just shut it down. Your mind is not only it's your one of your greatest tools, but it's also your most fearsome adversary. Anyway, I feel like I haven't been able to explain that well enough to you all. Because I know you're all, because you all feel like you have something different going on. And I understand that because they've scared you. It's called the standard of scare. They've scared you and they've got you using their words and everything. Don't use their words. Okay. I had a colon resection and I'm hiatal hernia. I am struggling with bloating and shortness of breath. All right. Well, Paul, I'm not sure what's going on, but because hiatal hernia. Okay, so the bloating, I'm not sure what they did. I'm not sure what they did. But if you didn't have that before, you've got to go back and have them check it. But usually bloating is gas, right? Which means that there's either blockage or that means that you're not digesting or I'd have to really look at you and I don't understand how that's related to the surgery for hiatal hernia. So you've got to go, if you got that and you didn't have any of that before, you got to go back to the guy and tell him, say, look, or woman, something is wrong and have them evaluate it. Okay, because it looks like there's some, and shortness of breath means it's going up, you know, it sounds like it's pushing up. Perhaps your diaphragm is not letting you breathe fully. I'm not sure, but you can't let that go. Go check that out, please. Anyway, you guys, I just realized what time it is. Sawadikap, kabumakap, and I didn't get to everything, but I hope you appreciate that you needed to hear this stuff. I need to say it, but I think we all need to hear it. All right, I'll see you next week. Sawadikap. Aloha, namaste.
Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Lodi Podcast. Join Dr. Lodi's membership community at drlodi.com, where you will have exclusive access to Dr. Lodi's cancer healing and wellness webinars, a community of health-minded people, healthy lifestyle recommendations, educational videos, and discounts on courses and content. While you're there, RSVP for upcoming events and register for the Stop Making Cancer online course. If you enjoyed listening, please share and write a review.